We're exploring the scripture passages that have to do with these images of God being described as light, light in the darkness, and us being described as children of the light. And let me just say, you know, as we're exploring the message of children of the light, if you have a child that is experiencing the need for choir practice, that's wonderful. They're always welcome here. We also have a quiet room with the closed screen TV back there. So, friends, we come before the scripture today in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that our joy and your joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I saw my friend Pete this week, and Pete said, hey, you want to go watch the game with us on Saturday? And I said, sure, that'd be great. And I asked where, and he mentioned the name of a restaurant down in the rail yard. So on Saturday, I got busy doing work around the house. I got a late start, and it was just a little before 2:30 that I headed downtown to try and find a parking place. Of course, the nearest parking place was in Omaha. I arrived having walked quite a distance about halfway through the first quarter. When I went into the restaurant, it was just a sea of red inside as well as out. I'd had a long walk, so I asked the garçon for a cool drink, and I started to look for Pete. It was so crowded, I was making my way through the crowd, and I started making friends as I went. you know, watching the big screens on the wall and the Huskers score, and we all know the same song. We all know the same cheers. We're high-fiving one another, and we're doing all these things as if the players 10 blocks away could hear us. And as a religious person with all the high-fives and cheers and songs, I recognize these as ritual incantations. And we're having such a great time, I forgot all about Pete. So finally, about halftime, I texted Pete and I said, where are you? I can't find you. And he said, we didn't think you were coming, so we went to another restaurant. So I start to head towards the door to get out to go meet Pete at this other place. And as I'm walking past, there was one tall, young, nice-looking woman who reached out and ran her manicured fingernails through my long, dark, Brad Pitt-like hair. She didn't articulate why. I think she was under the spell of the ritual incantations. I don't think she could articulate why. But her companion just said very matter-of-factly, she likes bald heads. So why do we like football so much? We like it because it gives us a sense of community. You know, it may be provisional, short-term, pseudo-community, but hey, the barriers get broken down. There's an openness to one another and the openness to the possibilities. You come away from an experience like that with a new appreciation for a broader sense of humanity. And okay, some of us feel closer to ducks today, okay? But for a football game, any sports event, there's a short-term, low-level sense of community that is just delightful. And that's what we need to begin to understand as we approach this scripture passage today. What are they talking about there when they're talking about a fellowship of light? They're talking about a sense of community. They're talking about people coming together, the barriers being broken down, about a sense of unity, a togetherness. This community refer to themselves as children of the light because their experience of God and Jesus Christ is one that helps them to see. And it is as if all the darkness and gloom in their life all of a sudden has a light to guide them. They see. They see one another. They see God. They see what matters and what is real. That's their experience of Jesus, the light of the world. That they're now walking in the light of God. And to walk in the light is to see. To see through a particular lens that allows you to see what really matters in the world. One word that is crucial for us to understand in our faith is the word sacrifice. Simply put, sacrifice means that you give up one good for something far greater, a greater good. Jesus gave up his life so that all sorts of people, the world, could have life. And as this passage says, life and life abundant. We walk in the light of that sacrificial love. And how does the world look different when you see it through the eyes of love? How does the world look different if it's not just you who sees through the eyes of love, but that you are part of a broader community and all these people together share that same perspective? You see the love that is possible in the world, and it changes you. This fellowship of the light is those Jesus people who see the possibilities for love and who themselves are set free to see their ability to sacrifice, to give for others, and they give their time, their energy, their money, their benefit so that someone else's life will be better, more graced, more blessed. They're set free to share the love. And it gives them an intense experience of joy as the barriers come down and these people together are sharing this experience of love. The life is overwhelming as they do that, and there is a sense of joy. That's why we're part of the church, to be part of this fellowship of the light, the ongoing fellowship of the light. A place where we can be open about our fears, a place where we can be open about our hopes, a place where we can together pool our resources and achieve far more than any one person could do alone. We perpetuate this light, we share this light. We do things like give kids Bibles again and again so that they begin to grasp the sense of this is an ongoing revelation, an ongoing story, and they get to see again and again how an old story takes on a new, deeper, more profound meaning. We share it in our own symbols and rituals, in our songs together. We share songs with the children of the church. It is my pleasure to share those songs with the children of the preschool because somebody shared it with me. And those songs still resonate deep within my consciousness. All those years ago, I remember those times, that young, and I'm still singing those songs. And that's what I want for the children of this church and the children of the preschool. That deep down in consciousness, there's a light that burns, so that in their darkest hour, they have a light that guides them and graces them. We teach children songs so that when they grow, they can recognize the light that is shining, and they can put their lives in harmony with that light and that love, those songs that God is singing. To be part of the fellowship of the light is to grow in an awareness of that light shining in the darkness. Being part of the fellowship of the light has lots of different meanings. That's what we're exploring this fall. But one that I'd like to lift up today is, I think being part of the fellowship of the light makes you, us, dangerous in the world. And by that, I refer to Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu, by the way, he's in the hospital this week. I hope you keep him in your prayers. Archbishop Tutu spoke here in Lincoln at the Leeds Center a few years ago. I was in the fourth row. I'm kind of a real fan of his. I think he is such a world changer. Desmond Tutu said that he knew long before the apartheid regime in South Africa had fallen that that system was going to be defeated, because he said years before that he'd come to the United States to speak to a small group of nuns in the woods in the Northeast. And this group of cloistered nuns told him that every morning they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to say their prayers. And they said every day when they began their prayers at 4 o'clock in the morning, they prayed for him and for the people that were working with him and for the fall of apartheid. Desmond Tutu said, "When they told me that, I knew that apartheid was going to fall." He said, God doesn't just have these prayers dissipate into the ether. He said, God, in God's own time, takes these prayers and weaves them together and changes the world. That's what it is to be part of the children of the light. That one group of people praying for somebody else on the other side of the globe can be part of their strength, a source, a resource for them, that gives them the power to go on and to truly change the world. There was in the news this week a story about a tragic milestone, again in Africa, that 1 million, there now have been 1 million refugees from South Sudan. This is an ongoing tragedy that has been a hardship for so many in the world. And I am so pleased that some folks that have come from that part of the world have come to Westminster and found a home here. It's an honor to have them here. It's a blessing to have them here, that we can, in a world of exclusion, open our arms wide and find brothers and sisters to join us. And together, we have the opportunity to begin to create a different world, a more welcoming world, a more peaceful world, because of how we're living here. The Gospel of John, when it's talking about Jesus, as you study this passage and that whole, I'm sorry, not the Gospel, the first letter of John that we read today, there's some conflict going on, because for some people, the way that they saw Jesus, he was just kind of a good idea, a philosophy, and it didn't matter that he was real. And the guy who's writing this letter is making the impassioned case, no, Jesus was real. He was real in his life. He was real in his death and suffering. He was real in his resurrection. And because Jesus was real, we need to be real. Our faith needs to be embodied. Needs to be embodied so that we're living out the love that we've been given. Now, there's all sorts of ways that love can be lived out. That passage this morning talks about forgiveness. And along that line, someone a couple weeks ago had left me a package here on the pulpit. And I brought it up to my office the next day, and I read it. It had a letter in it addressed to Westminster, to whom it may concern. I permanently borrowed a set of headphones from your church back in the 1970s. And it has worn on me all these years. I hope that the church will consider forgiveness, and I can make peace with the Lord Almighty when the time comes once again. I am sorry, anonymous. And the beautiful, beautiful thing is they left us a new set of headphones. Now, I just think, you know, someone showing a sense of conscience like this is just amazing. It's beautiful. What if the world was like that? And we all remembered the ways that we'd done something that had been a breach. This letter of John says we're all sinners. What if we all found some sort of way to repair a hurt, a breach from long ago? It truly would be a different world. We're part of the fellowship of the light. We forgive one another. We are willing to admit not just that we're not perfect, but that we all sin, and God, in the midst of that kind of world, is relentless in forgiving. It's not our perfections that bind us together. I think it's our imperfections and our ability and willingness to accept one another in the midst of the imperfections that is so beautiful of an experience of being part of the children of the light. You know those Oriental vases, those incredibly valuable Oriental vases that if one of them is broken, artists join them back together, join the broken pieces back together, not with glue, but with gold. And so, therefore, the broken places become what is most beautiful. I think that's part of being the fellowship of the light. The light reflecting off of our broken places, our sinful places, our forgiven places. That's how we see one another. We see one another as made more beautiful by the light. So we're eager to forgive one another and see the reflections of light all around. We are called to be children of the light, a community of the light. And that's how we see one another, value one another, and seek to live one another. What I would say is this. We're called into this community by God, and we know that we've experienced that in part. And yet, there are ways that we can grow in the connections in that community. I would invite every member of Westminster to think about how they can take one step further into making a statement to someone else in the church that you want to reach out in friendship and connection and grow in that fellowship of light together. Maybe it's that you sign up for that for our Neighbor Helping Neighbor Day just so you get to know some other people with a hammer in your hand or a paintbrush in your hand. Maybe it's that you reach out to somebody you don't know and invite them to go to lunch or gather together for some other occasion and just find a way to break down those barriers and build up that sense of community. And if you're a member of another church, I encourage you to do that in your congregation, because it matters everywhere that we experience and grow in that fellowship of the light. And if you're not a member of any church, I would invite you to say, maybe it's time and maybe God's calling and inviting you to come and be part of some place where you can grow in that community. We've got a new member class that starts next week at 9:00. We'd love to have you there. This is a place where we are growing in our understanding of what it is to be children of the light. We're not perfect. We know we don't need to be perfect, but the light comes and makes us beautiful in the broken places, in those broken places where we come to see again the love of God shining in the darkness, shining in our lives, guiding us into the future. What did that passage from 1 John say? We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, community with us. And seriously, our community is with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are sharing these things so that your joy may be complete. May we look forward to the joy that we share together. In Christ's name, amen.